Turn to our pew Bibles this morning to our scripture reading. Scripture reading is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we'll read verses 6 to 20. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 6 to 20, page 287 in your pew Bible. Then our text is going to be verses 17 and 18. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds together saying, "Thanks be to God." Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 6. "Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you to the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you he brought water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will be surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God." This is the word of the Lord. Our text this morning is verse 17 and 18. "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirm his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today." May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation who gives thanks to God, let me tell you a true story. It happened a long time ago that God came to a man named Abram. He came to Abram and said, "Abram, I am your God, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so much that all the nations of the world will share in your blessing. Abram, this is what you are to do now. You are to pick up your stuff. You pick up all of your belongings and move to a land that I will show you." Abram, he obeys God's call and he moves to the land of Canaan. In Canaan, God assures Abram that this land would be his. It would be inherited by his children. God makes an everlasting covenant with Abram in Canaan, a covenant that cannot be broken. It was a covenant between God and Abram and his descendants after him. And so it happens, as time goes by, that Abram, he gives birth to Isaac. And when Isaac gets older, he gives birth to Jacob. And when Jacob gets older, he gives birth to a whole clan. And through these generations, God continues his covenant. It happens that because of a great famine in the land of Canaan, Jacob and his family, they move to the land of Egypt, where there is much food and nourishment. They land up staying there for a long time. Actually, the people of Israel, they end up staying in Egypt for some 400 years. At first, Israel was treated with respect in Egypt, but as time went by, the Egyptians began to hate them. And before they knew it, they became Pharaoh's slaves, and they were treated very harshly with much injustice. The people of Israel, they cry out to their God for help. They need it, don't they? And so the Lord God, he hears them. And remembering his covenant with Abram, remembering his promise to always be their God and to give them the land of Canaan, God comes to Israel and he basically says, Israel, don't worry. I'll take care of you. You just watch this. And God, he delivers these terrific, harsh, devastating plagues on the land of Egypt. 10 of them. The Egyptian empire is left in shambles. And the Israelites, they are free to go. The Egyptians beg them to leave. They pay them to leave. And so Israel leaves Egypt with gold and silver and tons of other treasures. You'd think that Israel would be thankful. The Israelites, they leave Egypt, and then what happens? Why, they hit the Red Sea. And when they look to see where they had come from, they see that the Egyptians were pursuing after them. And so the Israelites, they cry out to Moses, Moses, did you lead us into the desert just to be killed? But the Lord basically interrupts, and he says, Israel, don't worry. I'll take care of you. You just watch this. And God sends this wind into the Red Sea, and he dries a path right through it. The Israelites cross the sea on dry ground. You'd think that the people of Israel would be thankful. It happens as they travel through the desert towards the land of Canaan that the people, they become hungry. There's no food around. This is the desert. And the people complained, saying, Moses, did you lead us into the desert just to starve to death? And the Lord, he basically interrupts and he says, Israel, don't you worry. I'll take care of you. You just watch this. And the Lord showers manna from heaven. And he showers down quail. It's food that comes right from God. You'd think that the people of Israel would be thankful. It happens as they travel along as well towards the land of Canaan that the people get thirsty. There's no water, but the people are still in the desert. And the people complain, Moses, did you lead us into the desert here just to make us die from thirst? But the Lord, he responds and he basically says to them, Israel, don't worry. I'll take care of you. You just watch this. And God, he opens up this rock in the middle of the desert, and what comes out but water? And their thirst is quenched. You think that the people of Israel would be thankful. And then it finally happens, after God makes his covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai, that the people of Israel, they get to the border of Canaan. It's all by grace now, you understand. Moses sends spies into Canaan to check it out, but some of the spies return only to give a bad report. They say to the people of Israel, there's just no way. We can't take over that land. The people in that place are just too big. It can't be done. And you can just imagine God's response to all of this. What? After I have led you out of Egypt, after I've led you through the Red Sea, after I've given you manna, after I've given you quail, after I've given you water to drink, and you have the audacity to say those people in Canaan are too big? Where have you been? And so the Lord has had enough. It was time for judgment. And so the Lord says, okay, you don't want to enter Canaan? You want to sit here in the desert instead? Fine, you can stay here. And so the Lord halts the travel plans for Israel for some more 40 years. Maybe that would be long enough for Israel to do some more thinking and be thankful. And so it happens that the 40-year wait is over. And God remembers his covenant with Abram. God promised him that he would be Abram's God and that he would give his descendants the land of Canaan. And so it was time to move on. And so as we read in the book of Deuteronomy, before God leads them into Canaan, God has a little chat, as it were, with Israel through his servant Moses. He says, Israel, I'm not leading you into Canaan because you're so nice, or because you are so numerous, or because you are so religious. You are none of these things. I'm leading you into Canaan because I made a promise to Abraham. I promised to lead you into Canaan. I promised to be your God, and so I'm going to be your God. And I'm going to lead you into the land of Canaan. And understand me well, I'm not just going to lead you into Canaan. I'm going to give it to you. Canaan is going to be tossed into your lap. As I led Israel out of Egypt, as I led you through the Red Sea, as I fed you manna, as I fed you quail, as I blessed you with water, so I will give you the land of Canaan. You're going to be blessed, okay? I'm going to give you barley and wheat and vines and fig trees and olive orchards and pomegranates. I'm going to give you a land where bread will not be scarce, where mines will dig up iron, where mines will dig up copper. All this I will give to you because I am the God of grace. I'm the God of the covenant. This I promised to Abraham, and this I am promising to you. And so when all of this finally happens, when all these riches are given, when you stare at it all, when it's all staring at you in the face, don't let it happen that all of a sudden you will stop and wonder, hey, where did all these riches come from? Boy, my power must have done this. This must be the strength of my hands. Don't let this happen to you, but remember the Lord your God. Congregation, you understand that we are now in our text for today, right? All that I said so far is kind of like background information for our text. Let me read our text again from Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. What was Israel to do when they would enter the land of Canaan? They were to remember the Lord their God. As it was he who led them out of Egypt, as it was the Lord God who brought them through the Red Sea, given them manna, given them quail, given them water, so it will be the Lord God who will give Israel the ability to produce wealth and thus keep his promise that he first made with Father Abram long ago. Funny how it all goes. Brothers and sisters, did the people of Israel finally remember the Lord their God when they entered the land of Canaan? Well, sometimes they did. But when you add it all up, no, they did not. God divides the River Jordan for them so that they cross into Canaan on dry ground again. God attacks the city of Jericho so the walls come tumbling down. God gives the whole land of Canaan to them by his grace. But overall, the Israelites, they still forget. Oh, time and again, God would judge Israel to help them remember, but ultimately, they don't. It's funny, you get to the New Testament, to the New Testament age, when Jesus comes along, and there are the Pharisees, the leaders of Israel, teaching the people that when it comes to getting ahead in life, when it comes to receiving God's reward, when it comes to getting saved, it all falls on us. We need to do it. We need to work hard for this. It's all on us. And the Lord God is forgotten. how sad God must have been. You wonder how he puts up with us. Why does he continue? How thankful we should be that Jesus was still willing to come to save us, his people, from our sin. That's why he came. And if he didn't, God would have destroyed us for good. And he would have had every right to do so. For this is our continual pattern. This is our continual practice. This is our natural habit. We forget. We forget the Lord our God. Praise be to God that he has shown us his mercy in Jesus Christ. And now, here we are today. Here we are. First of all, you recall who we are. Who are we gathered here today? We are the new Israel. We are Old Testament Israel updated. We are Old Testament Israel fulfilled. Remember God's promise to Abraham? God said to him, I will bless you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. Well, that happened. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came along. He went to the cross and he shed his blood for us. He paid for sin with his precious blood as a sacrificial lamb. His death and his resurrection, they made such an explosion of grace that the blessings that were reserved for Israel, they now get shared with us as well. So now we are the new Israel. Abraham is our father. We are but his spiritual children. And the promises? Yeah, get this. And the promises that were given to him now belong to us. Actually, we've got greater blessings. Abram received many promises. We get the fulfillment. Abram looked for the coming Christ. We've got him. Abram saw Pentecost from a distance. We experience it. Abram was given just the land of Canaan, just a parcel of land in the Middle East. We inherit all the earth. Matthew 5, right? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The whole planet, the whole universe belongs to Jesus Christ, and all of it is ours too in him. Has God not blessed us? Take a peek. Look around. We have all these spiritual blessings in Christ by grace through faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have all of these physical, material, earthly blessings of harvest. This is God's mercy and this is God's grace. And so I guess we better be careful. It could happen, you know. History does testify that this happens on occasion now. It could happen that as we look around and we see all of our homes and our nice properties and the double car garage with the two cars in them, the computers and all the laptops and the medical advances, the hospitals and all the clinics and all the babies and all the grandchildren and all the families, our fine church facilities, our Christian schools, Providence Christian School, Hamilton District Christian High, Redeemer University College, our government, our first responders, our police officers, our fire departments, our free country. And we stand back and we say, where did all this come from? And we say, oh, it must be me. It must be the strength of my hands. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that today Christians can celebrate Thanksgiving Day. I think we should be thankful just for that. For in a day like today, we have the opportunity, we have the responsibility to sit down for a while in our busy schedules and remember the Lord our God. The Lord God who led our spiritual ancestors and therefore us out of Egypt through the Red Sea and how he fed us with manna and quail and water, and how he led us into Canaan. And then he gave us Jesus Christ in the fullness of time, who suffered and he died as he led us through the Red Sea of sin, and lavished on us the pillar of the fire of the Holy Spirit, and brought us into the new Canaan, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, provided us with food and drink, and a great country with fine technology, medical advances, a secure economic environment, with fine crops, and the privilege to freely worship the Lord our God. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, in and of ourselves, we have a propensity for forgetting. We want to do it ourselves. We want to pat ourselves in the back. So we thank you, Father, for Thanksgiving Day. We set aside our labors and stuff, and we just go to church this morning with our loved ones. We may ponder the Lord our God, the God of grace, the God who works through history, the God who called Father Abraham thousands of years ago. You led your people through the Red Sea. You provided manna and quail. You gave us Jesus Christ. And here we are. We are in your church. Gracious God, may we remember the Lord our God. We thank you, Father, for all of your gifts. We thank you for our children, our families, our homes, the electricity, our automobiles. We thank you for the harvests in the fields. We thank you for every piece of gift and grace that you give. Help us to love you. May we serve you. May we obey your commandments. May we walk in a life of thanksgiving, a life of service, until Jesus Christ comes again, all by your grace. This we remember today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.